Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A New York neighborhood 20 years after a tragedy and a riot. It was 20 years ago this week that Crown Heights, Brooklyn, was torn apart by the car accident and violence in the streets that left two innocent people dead, tore at Black-Jewish relations, and was a defining moment in the David Dinkins administration. On this program 2 summers ago, in 2009, Mayor Dinkins looked back with some regrets and some frustration.
I have said often that I regret that I did not say to the police brass sooner, whatever you guys are doing, it's not working. It was then they altered their behavior, and they were able to contain the ravaging young blacks who were attacking Jews. But I will forever, by some, be accused of having held back the police and permitted blacks to attack Jews. That's just inaccurate. That is not what happened.
Mayor Dinkins on this show in 2009. So let's look back a little bit to August 1991, but also the state of the neighborhood today. Let's look at that in the present and how it has changed and grown as a result of the awfulness of 2 decades ago. With us are City Council Member Letitia James, who represents Crown Heights, and Rabbi Robert Kaplan from the Jewish Community Relations Council. And we will take your calls if you lived in Crown Heights at the time, or because most of the focus of this conversation is going to be on the present, if you live in Crown Heights today. The question really for listeners is, if you lived in Crown Heights at the time or if you live there now, talk about the legacy of the riots as they have helped to shape the neighborhood as it is today. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Rabbi Kaplan, Councilmember James, thanks so much for talking about this. Welcome.
Thank you and good morning.
Thank you for having us.
And as people who were aware at the time know, it all began when a car in the motorcade of the Lubavitch Grand Rebbe struck and killed 7-year-old Gavin Cato from a Guyanese immigrant family in the neighborhood. Riots then ensued that took the life of a visiting Australian rabbinical student, Yankel Rosenbaum. Looking back, where were each of you at the time, and why do each of you think the reaction in the black community was so intense to the accident? Councilman James?
Well, I was a young staff person at the time and was new to politics. In fact, had just been hired maybe about 2 weeks prior and did not know much about politics and or the politics of Crown Heights, and was just thrust in to this maelstrom, and obviously was just trying to get my bearings and try to understand what was going on. And I think there was a lack of communication. There was a lot of misinformation on the ground. There was no one in charge. No one was providing direction. And unfortunately, things got out of hand, and the young people who rioted and caused most of the mayhem in Crown Heights, unfortunately, there was no one in a position of leadership to basically organize them. And unfortunately, the police did not do their job.
Rabbi Kaplan, where were you at the time?
I was actually in Crown Heights most of the time of the disturbances there, the riots there. I was working for Hillel of New York at that point in time, and was a member agency of the Jewish Community Relations Council, and had a lot of experience on campus with black Jewish relations. So went into the community. I'm a Brooklyn person, born and raised, know Crown Heights well. Getting in and out of Crown Heights was a little hair-raising. It was a little scary, even for someone who grew up in a city project like I did in Brooklyn. But you saw that there was a lot of anger in the streets. There was not in control, as Councilman James just said. There was a lot of uncertainty about where it was all going to head.
And again, listeners, we're looking for people who live in Crown Heights today and with this being such a major chapter in the city's history, fairly recent history, 20 years ago, whether you moved in afterwards or whether you've lived there before then and ever since, how do you think the legacy of the riots and the community healing work that has been done since has helped to shape the character of the neighborhood today? 212-433-WNYC, if you live in Crown Heights or have in the last 20 years. 212-433-9692. We would love to hear your take on this. And we will talk mostly about the present, but there is still a debate today over whether the riots should be viewed as racial, reflecting an explosion of underlying tensions and feelings of being discriminated against by the blacks in the neighborhood, or seen more simply as anti-Semitic, with some people shouting Heil Hitler, as apparently happened, and other things at the height of it. Former New York Times reporter Ari Goldman just wrote recently that his reporting from the scene was twisted to make it look more like a two-way street fight with underlying racial tensions than a one-way anti-Semitic outburst. And you were both on a panel about this out in the Hamptons, I gather, the other day, but that turned into a little bit of a media circus beforehand around Reverend Al Sharpton's invitation to speak, because he had said at the time at Gavin Cato's funeral that the child's death was the, quote, result of the social accident of apartheid, using that language usually connected with South Africa. He said that back then. Sharpton also at that time distributed No Justice, No Peace posters, even after Mayor Dinkins called for calm in the streets. Yankel Rosenbaum's brother said last week that even inviting Sharpton shows some people still think it was about ongoing racial tensions rather than simple wanton criminal violence. So I guess the underlying question here, Rabbi Kaplan, is this a debate still worth having in those terms, in your opinion, about whether it was just an anti-Semitic criminal outburst or whether there were underlying racial tensions that certainly didn't justify the riots, but that were real and needed to be addressed after the fact?
Well, I think that you're right. Nothing justifies violence on that level. And Crown Heights is a very complex situation with a lot of complex history behind it. When someone says, kill the Jews or get the Jews or Heil Hitler, certainly that's anti-Semitism. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There was, and the complexity also means that there was race involved here. There was the issue of competing for resources in the context of the community. It's another way that it's been described as a perfect storm, a storm of some anti-Semitism that was percolating through the community and certainly played out in a very violent way in the death of Yankel Rosenbaum, accosting a Jew on the street and killing him strictly because he was Jewish, and the issues of racial tensions and the competition for resources in the context of a community with two communities that really needed those resources in order to have a proper quality of life.
And Councilwoman James, rage just below the surface over things real that got triggered, but also criminal and anti-Semitic violence, or is it really an either-or situation? The rabbi says it's not.
I think this is what happened based on my review and conversations with individuals who were on the ground at the time. I think that there was some underlying racial tensions. I also think that there was this, unfortunately, this rumor that was rampant in the community that, in fact, the Hutzola ambulance, unfortunately, did not pick up the child. And I think that fueled it. In addition, I think competing needs in the district, which do not exist today, fueled the riots, the anti-Semitism. And I think, unfortunately, it culminated in a perfect storm.
Let's take some phone calls. We have a full board of callers who live in Crown Heights or who have lived in Crown Heights. And let's start with Lewis in Brooklyn, who I think lived there at the time. Lewis, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Brian. Once again, a wonderful, interesting show. I watch your show quite often.
Thank you.
I have to say, at the time of the riots, I did live within Crown Heights, sorry. Crown Street around Nostrand Avenue in that area. The accident, very unfortunate, but that's all it was, an accident. Accidents happen every day, and unfortunately, sometimes they result in fatalities. You know, there underlying racism, yes. There has always been this hatred towards the Jewish community from certain members of the black community. There is this big stereotype that Jews have everything, but that's simply not the case. Are they organized? Yes, they are a very organized community, just like everyone else, just like the certain contingencies amongst the Asian community, like the Koreans, like the Chinese. But that doesn't give someone the right to say, well, you know, they have everything, so let's just come after them.
What about since, Lewis? Do you still live in the neighborhood, or how much longer did you?
I still live in Brooklyn, but I live about 5 miles away from where that had happened. I don't know the councilman who was there at the time, but I don't think he did much anyway. But Dinkins did try. But again, I think he was a decent mayor at the time. I did vote for him, but and I am a Jew. But you know, the whole thing is, I think things could have been done better. But then again, you don't know until you're in the situation.
Lewis, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. Let's go to John in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Good morning, Brian, and good morning, Tish. Tish is my council member.
Hi.
How you doing, Tish?
I'm fine.
I worked on the at the Hip Center on the corner of Eastern Parkway and Ocean Avenue back when this very unfortunate incident happened. But I can also share that in that particular community at that time, there was a lot of tension. And we used to actually have experiences with that tension at the Hip Center. Whenever we called the police, there were delays. But there were always police cars parked at the synagogue a couple of blocks down. And you would hear this constant refrain. There's no police in the areas that need it, but police cars are constantly stationed in front of the synagogue. That set a lot of tension in the community.
Thank you very much. And Shafee in Crown Heights are on WNYC. Hello, Shafee.
Oh, hi. Good morning. I enjoy listening to your show all the time.
Thank you.
I'd just like to add to a few comments. Mayor Dinkins came on, and he said that one of the things that he regretted doing was holding back the police. Well, if you take things in context, his...
Well, no, he said he never held back the police. He was trying to clarify that he never held back the police. That was the charge. He regrets that he wasn't quicker to tell the police whatever you're doing there isn't working. So I just want to be clear on his behalf, but go ahead.
Okay, I appreciate that. During the time, there was other incidences such as Yusuf Hawkins to add to this racial tension that was going on in the city at the time. So we had an incident with Yusuf Hawkins. We had an incident out in what do you call it, Cross Bay Boulevard.
Howard Beach.
We had, so I'd just like to say that one of your other panelists mentioned that it was a rumor that the ambulance came and picked up the woman because it was an accident. And what happened was they did come and pick up the Jewish woman and take her to the hospital and left Gavin Cato there on the sidewalk, and he unfortunately died. And that's what fueled the entire riot, if my memory serves me correct. I'd just like to add that commentary.
Right.
I'll sit back and listen.
Thank you very much for your call. And Rabbi, that was a big flashpoint at the time, right? And that did come up briefly here, but I remember hearing a lot of that at the time. Oh, the ambulances were called, and I think it was the Jewish Hatzolah ambulance service?
It was a Jewish Hatzolah service, and in fact, what happened, according to the reports that studied the events of the day that were conducted by the Cuomo administration at that time, said that it was the police that told them to get that guy out of there because he was in fact being attacked after the accident. So it was a decision made by the police themselves to get him into the ambulance, the driver of the car into the ambulance, and get him out of there. And simultaneously a EMS service showed up. But what I want to talk about is where we're at today. And one of the symbols of hate that was so potent during that time was a picture of Rabbi Bitton on the front of the post with covering his son. And it showed fear, it showed anxiety, it showed hatred, it showed anxiety. Well, just 2 years ago in Crown Heights, through a program funded by UJA Federation that was a partnership between the Crown Heights Community Mediation Center, created after the riots, and the Crown Heights Jewish Community Council, a joint African-American, Caribbean-American, and Jewish cookbook was put together by young women in the community that went out and did the stories, gathered the recipes, put the whole thing together. The person who helped to honcho that process was Rabbi Pitone's daughter, Shira. And, in fact, that was almost a perfect healing. We talk about a perfect storm. We talk about a perfect circle, a perfect healing, that she was able to go beyond any hatred, negativity that may have come from that period of time, pull together these young women from the community, work together to do something in the community. And, in fact, her father was at the unveiling of the cookbook, was so pleased by this process that he went ahead and did a music piece with African-American and Caribbean-American
yes.
musicians in the community.
And I want to get Councilmember James to comment on this, and my guest as we talk about Crown Heights today, 20 years after the riots, Rabbi Robert Kaplan from the Jewish Community Relations Council and City Councilmember Letitia James, who represents the area. There was a concerted effort after the incident to improve relations, like few things that I've seen in my years growing up in New York. We had on this show over the years various people from both communities, Richard Green, Rabbi Shia Hecht, others mm-hmm. working through sports and other venues. The rabbi was just talking about music and cooking to heal the wounds at the community level. Nothing obviously could bring back either victim for their loved ones, but heal at the community level. Do you think, Letitia James, that those efforts bore fruit and maybe even became a model of sorts?
Yes. Let me just say that, you know, obviously I choose to look forward and not backwards, and we've got to heal these wounds. And what we really need to do is bring unity into the community. And right after the riots, then it was Councilmember Mary Pinkett and then the late Councilmember James Davis. And then I was elected into office, and we started Project CARE. We started a number of events in the community where we've brought members of the Orthodox community, member of the Caribbean and African-American community together to talk. We have conflict resolution. We have individuals on the ground. We have immediate communication. We know each other's phone numbers. There's a patrol car where you have members of the precinct council, and they patrol the streets along with Caribbeans and members of the Orthodox community. There have been a number of initiatives to bring this community together. And whenever, in fact, there is any rumor, we try to get the truth out as quick as possible, and we are on the ground. So a number of individuals are responsible for coming together to bring more harmony mm-hmm. in the community and to bring unity in the community. And I believe that we have been very successful.
Muttle in Crown Heights, you're on WNYC. Hello, Muttle.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to call in and say, actually, I'm from Los Angeles originally, but I've lived in Crown Heights for the past 5 years, and I actually currently live at the corner of Utica and President. So when I was walking by on the anniversary of the crash the other day, it was very surreal. But overall, I mean, I found in the past 5 years I've been here that things are at least a lot better from what I've, you know, descriptions in the past, that I have, you know, good relations with African-American neighbors. You know, we say hello to each other. You know, there's, we help each other out and whatever it is. So that's my personal experience.
Do people talk about it? Do you find as a newcomer to the heart of the neighborhood that it's something that kind of, you know, hangs over the neighborhood, either in a negative sense or in something more complicated than that?
I mean, I haven't really heard discussion in general conversation. I mean, I'm an inquisitive person. I'm a blogger. I am interested in the past of Crown Heights. I've spoken to people who experienced it and know about it. But overall, it's not something that I see that figures at least in any negative sense at all in day-to-day life,
Muddle,
maybe in a positive sense.
Thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. Councilwoman James, I know you got to go. Can I get a quick comment from you on, I saw you quoted on the Dominic Strauss-Kahn
yeah.
dismissal, which is going to be our next topic, and there seems to be this consensus that they just don't have a case against him because whether this happened or not in the way that the woman claims, she's got too many credibility problems to bring it in a legal sense, but that you're disputing that, are you?
Let me just say this, that one, a lot of information was leaked to the press. Two, the case should have been handled from the outset by the sex crimes unit and was handled by another unit. Three, there's questions with respect to how Her defense team handled the matter, and I'm not going to second guess that, but a number of individuals have critiqued it. All my message is the following. My message is that she should be judged by a jury of her peers. As a former defense attorney, I know that a number of cases were brought by district attorneys where the complaining witness had credibility issues, and nonetheless the case was brought because no one can second guess and no one can predict the outcome of a jury verdict. And I particularly am disappointed that this decision, that this case is being dismissed simply because of the chilling message that it's going to send to victims of sexual assault and rape, which is probably the most underreported crime, not only in Manhattan and in New York City, but in this nation. And so we have got to take sexual assaults and rapes very serious in the criminal justice system and need to analyze it. And this, in my humble opinion, is a teaching moment for us as a society.
City Council Member Letitia James from Brooklyn, Rabbi Robert Kaplan from the Jewish Community Relations Council, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we will dig deeper into the dismissal of the Dominique Strauss-Kahn case and the remaining issues in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.